I may get some of you all to do a little bit of reading, because the characters in this book I find very interesting. I want to start in verse 8 of 1 Samuel. Now we're going to look at what the Bible has to say concerning Hannah. We'll be doing a little reading, and probably we'll get a little something out of this lesson. I find Hannah a very interesting but godly woman. Very interesting and godly. Let's look at verse number 8. And I'll see if we can read down to verse 12, and then we'll go from there. Anyone wants to read?
Okay. Elkanah, her husband, would say to her, "Hannah, why are you weeping? Why don't you eat? Why are you downhearted? Don't I mean more to you than 10 sons? Once they had finished eating and drinking in Shiloh, Hannah stood up. Now Eli the priest was sitting on a chair by the doorpost of the Lord's temple. In bitterness of soul, Hannah wept much and prayed to the Lord. And she made a vow, saying, "O Lord Almighty, if you'll only look upon your servant's misery and remember me and not forget your servant, but give her a son, then I will give him to the Lord for all the days of his life. No razor will ever be used on his head." As she kept on praying to the Lord, Eli observed her mouth. Hannah was praying in her heart, and her lips were moving, but her voice was not heard. And Eli thought she was drunk.
But she wasn't.
No, he wasn't.
She was praying to God.
Yes.
She also made a vow to God, which is very important. Hannah was a woman that loved the Lord. She was barren, couldn't have any children. But God won't change all that. She was a woman that had a lot of faith in the Almighty God. You know, I look at some of these characters in the Bible, and I sometimes shake my head because I can't believe some of the things they did and some of the things they didn't do. God is a merciful God, a mighty God. Hannah was a loving woman. She was a loving woman. She wanted a son so badly that she was willing to make a vow to God. If you do this, he'll work for you all of his days. I love that. Because God is a righteous God, a merciful God. Now, excuse me. I'm glad she was a praying woman. But she understood the importance of a loving God. You understand? We also have responsibility. We cannot afford play around with the master. No. No. I also want to talk a little bit about a fellow by the name of Eli. Eli was a godly man. But he had a couple of sons that were not godly. They didn't treat his temple the way it should have been treated. But let's look at Eli a minute.
Great.
Yeah.
Can I make a comment for you? Yeah.
Go ahead.
I just want to say that as we read this part here, you know, we have to understand, and we do this because we are human, but we sometimes want to strike a bargain with God. As she was saying here, yeah, God, because she wanted a son so bad, she was saying, if you give me a son, I will in turn give him back to you.
Oh, yeah.
And she, in her heart, meant what she said. Mm-hmm. But the important thing is we, as humans, we tend to say, especially when we get in a bind, we want to ask God for help, and we be earnest in our prayer and saying, Lord, if you get me out of this, I'll do this, that, and other, and I'll do this, I'll do that. But when we get it, when the Lord brings us through, we tend to forget that promise that we made, you know. But we can't bargain with God only because God heard her prayer and felt compassion for her, the reason why he answered her prayer.
Yeah.
But we have to keep in mind that there's no such thing as bargaining with God. But when you make a vow or you say something out your mouth, you have to back up what you say, especially when the Lord to bring you to what you asked for. That's how I just want to be left for.
Yes. Thank you.
Along with that, this story touches me because she did make that vow. As much as she wanted him, she was willing to give him up. And I kind of understand that. When I had my three children, I was so thankful to God. You look at those tiny babies and you just think, oh, there's nothing better in the world. And it's true for being a mom. And then, but when they were born, I thanked the Lord and I said, Lord, please help me to be a mom so that one day I can give these back to you. And not, it wasn't a vow, it was just thankfulness that, Lord, they will be close to you and that they too will seek him. But, you know, they have that freedom, they have free choice. And as they grew up, they did what they think was right. They still do what they think is right. And Samuel did not. He stayed. He did. He was a great man later on.
Yeah.
And I'm so glad that, you know, that vow that she made, and she honored it and dedicated him to the Lord, that there's no going back. You know, he knew who he was and he knew how special he was.
Mm-hmm.
So that's something too to remember. I mean, sometimes it doesn't always work out that way, but
you know,
God has something better. So
thank you so much. Thank you so much. You thought it was very clear.
Yeah, I think
it's very clear. Now, Hannah spoke in her heart. Only her lips moved, but her voice. The voice was not heard. Mm-hmm. All of her lips. Mm-hmm. Therefore, Eli thought she was drunk. But Hannah said, no, my Lord. No, my Lord. Eli said to him, how long have you been drunk? Put the wine away from you. But Hannah answered and said, sorrowfully, sorrowful spirit, I have drunk neither wine nor intoxicating drink, but have poured out my soul before the Lord. Do not consider your maid servant a wicked woman. For out of the abundance of my complaint and grief, I have spoken unto them. Now, Eli answered and said, go in peace, and the Lord of Israel grant you your petition, which you have asked of him. And she said, let your servant find favor in your sight, so that the woman went her way and ate, and her face was no longer sad. You know, I like this because she had solace in the Almighty God. She believed her prayer would be answered. In the world. That's the kind of God we have. That's the kind of God we serve. Mm-hmm. I'm so thankful to people like him. Let's look at verse 19 for a minute. Who has that? Hallelujah. Read down a few verses. Samuel is born and dedicated. Yeah.
And they rose up in the morning early and worshiped before the Lord and returned and came to their house to Ramah. And Elkanah knew Hannah, his wife, mm-hmm. and the Lord remembered her. Wherever it came to pass, when the time was come, about after Hannah had conceived, that she had bare a son, and called his name Samuel, saying, yes. Because I have asked him of the Lord. Samuel saying, because I have asked him of the Lord.
Mm-hmm.
And the man Elkanah and all his house went up to offer unto the Lord the yearly sacrifice and his vow. But Hannah went not up, for she said unto her husband, I will not go up until the child be weaned, and then I will bring him, that he may appear before the Lord, and there abide forever. And Elkanah her husband said unto her, do what seemeth thee good, tarry until thou have weaned him, only the Lord establish his word. So the woman abode and gave her son suck until she weaned him.
Okay. Hannah was the woman of faith. She knew that the God that she served was not going to let her down. she bore that son and named him Samson. I like that. Because our God don't make mistakes. Everything he does is perfect. This woman proud of me and wanted to tear up my mom down. But I also want to say that Samuel was the oldest, but I think he is 3 or 4 more children. And I'm sure she was very happy. Now, that Cana would also marry the mother lady. But she used to cheat on her a lot because she couldn't have a child. You know, God don't like it. He does things in his own time, in his own way. We can't get around that. I know I have a lot of regrets in my life, but God is still in charge. Hannah was a wonderful woman. After she weaned that man, that baby, she gave him up to the Lord. And I tell you, a vow was something you couldn't play with. You had to abide by that. And we'll talk about the modern character. Yeah.
You brought up the fact that the vow back in those days were taken very seriously.
Very.
Very seriously. Not unlike what's happening in the world today. We even have a senators who bold-faced lie about their achievements in order to get a position. You know. But here, back in Judges, the 11. I start reading verse 29 and a few verses to bring us to mind what happened and then the outcome. And then the lesson for us, the Judges 11, starting in verse 29, where it says, "Then the Spirit of the Lord came upon Jephthah. He crossed Gilead and Manasseh, passing Mizpah of Gilead. From there he advanced against the Ammonites. And Jephthah made a vow to the Lord, 'If you give the Amorites into my hands, whatever comes out of the door of my house to meet me when I return in triumph from the Ammonites will be the Lord's, and I will sacrifice it as a burnt offering.'"
Mm-hmm.
Of course, then we find out there was his daughter.
Yeah.
When he came home, his daughter was anxious and happy to go and meet his leader then. And then he told her with heavy heart what he said. And
even she knew the importance of a vow.
And yes, that's the other part, that she, for no, for something that she did had nothing to do with, now she's involved in it, but she also understood, "Father, I know you got to keep your vow. It's okay." I'm sort of paraphrasing. But she went and spent some time with her friends, and then she came back and said, "It's time."
Mm-hmm.
Yes, very serious. That vow meant something.
Oh, yeah.
And had greater weight than our just flippant responses far too often nowadays. Scripture tells us that your yea be yea, and your nay be nay. As much as is possible within us.
Amen.
A vow is a promise, right?
Greater than a promise. I think it has more weight than
that's exactly what it is, though. It's a promise. You're just promising it to your Creator. Yeah. So that's what gives it more weight. It's like you promising something to your child, like, I've messed that up. But if I promise something to my Lord and I mess that up, that's eternal damnation. Especially when you have them in your heart. So vows are kind of important, but they are just a promise. That's all it is.
That's all weight
then. Yeah. Well, see, humans give things more weight than they deserve. They do, all of the time. They just have that problem for some reason. But a vow, I feel like, is more between you and the Lord and nobody else. They don't matter in between your promise to God. None of them do. They can help you away from the promise. I feel like I find that's fun. But helping you toward the promise, that's how the body's supposed to work. But instead, I find that the body enjoys pushing you away from what you promised God. Kind of weird. Yeah, it's weird, isn't it? So, you know, it says in here, don't push your children to wrath. It also says honor your parents. I mean, this book right here is very confusing to a lot of people for a lot of reasons. Because they look into it a little bit too much. They don't just take it for what it happened here or what is happening in your life. And it's the living word of God, right? So you make a promise to the Lord, you think about the Lord. You have them in your heart. You say, hey, I'm not going to do this because not only does it mess my life up, but it also messes my life in your kingdom up. It messes my life for how I can help you spread your news. You know, it's not just a, I don't want to do this for me anymore type vow, type promise. I mean, you can't do that. You have to actually have him in mind when you make it, right? Which is, again, what makes it so special.
That's so very good.
It's still just a promise.
That's and again, it outweighs the flip response. So in this case, we have example where a man vowed affected somebody else.
Oh yeah, yeah.
Your family member. So it does matter.
It's very vague.
It does matter.
You're talking about when it comes to the other individuals?
Yes.
Well, it's a vow itself? No. If other people are going to take that vow as a promise and they're going to utilize it to give somebody an opportunity for something, that's one thing. But the vow itself is just between you and the Lord, man. Like, it doesn't matter who. Let's say I promised to this church right here that I would run 50 miles a day, period. And this is what I'm going to do. I promise y'all that. And then I don't do it. Do you think that I'm scared about y'all? No, I promised him. I mean, I said that wrong, but if I'm promising the Lord something and y'all are taking it to a personal place, then that's silly to me.
Because that affects your integrity.
Well, I don't have to worry about what a congregation is going to do to me. I have to worry about what the Lord is going to do for me.
But in Judges, he vowed the person that saw him first, he would give their life, and the person that saw him was his daughter. So he then told her, I vow to the Lord that the person that saw me first, I would sacrifice their life. So then that's like saying to my son, if I go home today, I had confessed my sins to the body, and I confessed my vow to the Lord, and whoever greeted me, I'm sacrificing them. Then my son has to say, I'm gonna pay your price. I'm gonna take that vow. I'm gonna fulfill your vow.
Unfortunately, your son has nothing to do with that vow.
He does.
No, because you and God are the only ones that made the vow. Right, and he just so happens to be the one you saw first. If it had been a random person, then that's it.
Because again, I'd have to take that person's life.
Right, but why would you make a vow to the Lord to take a life that makes no sense?
But the person sometimes also has to be willing to do it.
You're talking about Old Testament, not New Testament, too. Nobody's going to say now, hey, Lord, I'm going to promise you a life.
I understand the Old Testament. I understand that we're in the Old Testament. And we are no longer under the blood. I mean, I'm sorry, we're no longer under the Old Testament.
No one's
going to
sacrifice a human being's life for the Lord here and right. It shouldn't be.
Yeah.
Because he doesn't ask for that. He wants mercy instead of sacrifice.
What you've got to consider is that we're taking one aspect out of all of this. God's in control. So God puts his daughter in his place at the right time in the right place. We've got to understand these things happen the way God wants them to happen. And then that's why the daughter understood the whole situation. We have the vows to the Lord. We put every control under him. We take ourselves out of the picture. So when God put her in that place, it wasn't a random person. It was a person that was placed there for a purpose.
I understand the story in Judges, and I understand the story she was trying to say. What I was trying to say is that it's no longer relevant to the way we live our lives in salvation today, because the Lord would never ask for a sacrifice today. Today, he wants mercy, not sacrifice. So back in the day, before Jesus Christ came and died, he needed sacrifice. Now we no longer need any sacrifice. So utilizing Judges to make a point in a vow today, hey, we're going to sacrifice your life.
He is asking for it. Like she said, making our bodies living and holy sacrifices.
It's a difference. Yeah.
It's a difference.
And he's asking, so you're telling me that the Lord wants our bodies to be a living and holy sacrifice to him right now, is what you're telling me? So not a relationship. It isn't a relationship.
It is part of the relationship. It is part of the relationship.
So you see, so what you're seeing, so let's say I started a couple of years ago as an addict, right? Really bad one. And I've lost a lot of those bad behaviors along my journey. Do you see those as sacrifices for the Lord?
Yes, because your body has been cleaned, and you sacrificed all those bad habits. You've gotten rid of those bad habits.
But that's not a sacrifice. You just said yourself.
Yes, it is.
So if I sacrifice something, it doesn't damage
it.
You're
not
damaging it.
So if I sacrifice something, if I give it away, that means it's damaging me. That means it's hurting me. But to give up bad behaviors isn't sacrificing. I mean, it might be sacrificing a mood, but I don't see this. Maybe it's the word that I don't like.
Maybe it's
giving
the word.
It up. Yeah.
Because you're now sacrificing those bad behaviors to do what God is wanting you to do, to be here, to have that healthy body. Because it's easy. It's easy to do the bad thing. For example, on my bad day, it's easy to go get fried chicken. I'm not trying to be funny. On a bad, stressful day, it's easy to get that Sprite. It's easy to get that chicken. The sacrifice is saying, Lord, I'm not doing that today. I'm not falling in to that hardness of what's going on. Because it's easy.
And that's
the sacrifice.
And that's giving up.
Is that I'm not doing the bad over the good. That's the sacrifice. We have to look at the word. It's not, it's like, and the ladies have talked about it a lot, and the guys have talked about the word submit. There's a lot of definitions that we get set on the word and what it means, and it's just, it's like, oh my gosh, it's the harshness of it. Sacrifice is a wonderful thing, because if we think about it, Christ sacrificed his life for us. So therefore, every time that we don't do what we want to do because it's hard, we are sacrificing, like literally, the fact that, you know, someone might have had a bad day and they decided that worship is where they needed to be, then to sit at home in a dark space. Again, for me, like chicken, that's my go-to. Bad day, fried chicken. They know.
Okay. Here you go, Chris. Romans 12:1. Therefore, I urge you, brothers, in view of God's mercy, to offer your bodies as a living sacrifice, holy and pleasing to God.
Yeah.
This is your spiritual act of worship. Do not conform any longer to the pattern of the world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, and you'll be able to test and approve what God's will is, his good and pleasing and perfect will.
I guess I see, again, giving up bad habits as bearing the cross, but not sacrificing. That's just my personal wording of the term. Bearing your cross, understandable. Sacrificing things, I believe that's sacrificing things that are important to you. You know
it's
what I mean?
It's all done because you love the Christ. Because you want to have that relationship with them.
That's the thing. This is great. I have a great relationship with Jesus.
And
I just wish that everyone else could have their own relationship with him.
Well, that's what God wants, not just you.
That's
why he sent his son.
The funny thing of all this is you're going to hear a lot about that in the sermon this morning. That's all we're going to talk about.
Well, Chris, you're on the ball there, bud.
And Chris,
don't leave. Because we are about discussion.
Yeah.
You know, but don't leave.
Yeah.
Because we've had people who have left because they feel like...
This doesn't bother me. I don't like being gaslit by people for a reason.
No, we're not trying to.
Biblical discussion is exactly what we're supposed to be doing as a
right.
body. So yeah. just because I disagree with your utilization of the word sacrifice, and I like to use bearing a cross, whatever... It's the same thing.
And we're like, we're wearing our cross every day.
Correct. But
not everybody has the same understanding of God's word. We have to put things in perspective.
Well, that's exactly
because God,
your perspective.
God is above us. Mm-hmm. He knows all the ins and outs. He knows what you are about. You can't fool him.
Exactly.
No, can't fool him. You have to leave the word of God and understand that His word is all in that.
Mm-hmm.
We can't come up with our own assumption.
The truth is always the truth.
Oh yeah. You can't do it.
Yeah.
You may not agree. But we must be able to agree.
Well, that's exactly. That's the whole
point. But the point of the matter is that we need to do it God's way.
Right.
There's no in between. God has made it clear what He wants from man. The first thing He wants is obedience. He wants obedience. He wants us to love one another. He wants us to care about one another. There's no getting around it.
Mm-hmm.
If God said it, I believe it. That's simple.
Yeah.
But God also said, I said it, but do you believe it or not? That's the way it is. We don't have any choice in the matter.
Huh?
We have.
In first among men.
And how we are to treat one another, how we are to love the Lord.
This is what confuses people, because we shouldn't have a choice. But
no, I just thought I made it clear. We do it God way, you don't have no problem.
Yep.
The problem comes when man decides to do things on his own. Without considering his fellow brothers and sisters.
Yeah,
I got a problem with it. Because God wants us to show love. He wants us to have concern on one for the other. We can't do things our way and expect to please the Lord. Many of us in this book right here, in God's Word, have messed up unto death. Yeah. Many of them. That's why this is the greatest book that's ever been written.
Mm-hmm.
And we need to abide by those things that are written in it so that we don't make the mistakes that many of them did way before.
Mm-hmm.
We got a responsibility to God. I don't have a responsibility to me. My responsibility lies with the Lord. And I know He is going to help me in this situation, or whatever situation I'm in.
I do believe if we pay enough attention, He definitely does help.
Yeah.
He'll let you know where you need to be.
Amen.
Yeah. Yes, listen.
God is not a God of confusion.
No.
And we have to be on one accord in His word, not ours. We have to be in one accord in what He says. That's why we come together. So we can read His word, learn His word, discuss it. And if you are confused, you have to pray that God clear that confusion from you.
So you can know his word in the right way that he wants his will to be done. See, we get all confused with us. But this is what I think. It's not about what you think. You don't have anything to do with it. You didn't write the word. The word was put there for our learning and to give that, carry that word in the way that God wants us to carry it to someone else. Not the way we want to. It's not my perspective. It's not Carla's perspective. It's not Brian's perspective. It is God's word. And we have to take us out of the equation. Because we can get ourselves, like Roy Ray, down a lot of trouble, and we need someone else down the line in trouble. Because they believe in what you say instead of you showing them what the word says.
It's all about the law's word.
Were you saying that none of our opinions or perspectives matter just as God's does? That doesn't make any sense because we're all his children. And we all have a piece of the Holy Spirit.
We are his children. We are his children. But these are his words. These are his words. I can't take my words. You know, I can't take my words because this is what Charlotte thinks and give it to somebody. I have to show them what God says.
So you can't. So you're not allowed to have a conversation around how you believe with another person is what you're pretty much telling me.
No, I'm not.
So
that's what you're thinking.
So that's what's your perspective that you can't give them?
No.
I'm giving God's perspective.
One thing I do concern is I pray that God's word come out, not mine.
Right.
Now, my opinion, that I bring out the truth.
That's so right.
What you kind of say is correct. It's not our opinion because we didn't write the word. We didn't. We have to follow the head of the church. It's his church, not our church. His church. We're a part of it.
And he left the Holy Spirit with us.
Right.
So we all have a part of the Lord inside. And this is the last one.
Right.
So our opinions, okay. Now, okay, this is my opinion.
Okay.
All right.
You're entitled to have an opinion.
Our opinions matter. All of our separate opinions about the word matters. But if you look at the word, as this lady is trying to explain, it is cut and dry to what happened. This is a history lesson on what not to do and a guidebook into our salvation. Old Testament, New Testament. Right? And they're God's words. Right. Our opinion on what we read is our opinion. And we can share that with others. This is what makes denominations be born. Our hard, steadfast, I need this to be the right way because it's the way I think. So now
well,
I have a bunch of conversation. But I'm saying
the Church of Christ is not a denomination.
It's not a denomination.
Well, I've never said it was. But, I mean, unless I'm able to finish talking in a sentence, then I'm...
Yeah, but it's time to close class, man. It's time for us to be ready to go.
I guess then I would like to have...
I encourage you to... hang around and listen to the sermon because maybe I can explain.
Well, absolutely.
I think if we speak to people and we want to get our own opinions across, you better make sure that those are your opinions and not God's opinion. It means that you tell them, I take these scriptures and this is my opinion about these scriptures.
Okay.
Not God's opinions, maybe.
It's a collective opinion.
Maybe, but maybe not. Maybe your opinion is not what God is directly saying in His Word.
Brother Ray.
Yes, sir.
I'm pretty sure it's Psalm 19, verse 9 to the end. The fear of the Lord is pure, enduring forever. The ordinances of the Lord are sure and altogether righteous.
Yep.
They are more precious than gold, than much pure gold. They are sweeter than honey from the comb. By them is your servant warned. In keeping them, there is great reward. Who can discern his errors? Forgive my hidden faults. Keep your servant also from willful sin. May they not rule over me. then will I be blameless, innocent, or great transgression. May the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart be pleasing in your sight, O Lord, my rock and my redeemer. Mm-hmm.
Thank you very much.
Thank you.
The Lord wants us to be able to communicate and have the kind of mindset that we need to do it His way. We can't do it our way. And we have to please the Lord. Not me. Not you. Not anyone here. We have to do what we can to feed the Lord. He is the one that's going to help you with the final answer.
Yes,
His word is true. Mm-hmm. But we need to make sure we abide by it. We're way over time.
That's okay.
It's been an interesting class.
Yes.
But we try to keep it. Book chapter and verse. Oh, I do bring these in.
Okay.
So, I thank you for. Thank you all. Thank you. Good to see you all. Thank you.